Hey friend, are you struggling to find consistent paid speaking gigs? Do you want to know the exact 6 steps that you can take to find and book more paid speaking opportunities in 2024? Well, we want to make that easy for you. We've created a new free resource with the help of Dan Irvin, one of our highly successful speakers on our team. Dan has booked over $100,000 in paid speaking gigs in the last few years, and his 6-step process is going to help you maximize your chances of getting booked and paid to speak in any industry. You're going to learn how to get started prospecting, master discovery calls and proposal emails, and so much more. All you got to do is go to thespeakerlab.com/steps, and we're going to send you this 18-page guide straight to your inbox. Again, that is thespeakerlab.com/steps, and you're going to get that free guide. Hey, thanks for listening. You're awesome. Hey, what's up, friends? Grant Bolden here. Delighted to have you here listening to the Speaker Lab podcast for another episode of our Coach's Corner series. Now, there are a lot of fun perks in our Speaker Lab programs, but our amazing coaches who guide our students through the ups and downs of building a speaking business are the heart of our mission. Every single day, our coaches dedicate their wealth of experience to helping our students gain the clarity and the confidence that they need to make an impact as a professional speaker. Today, our Director of Student Success, Mary Alice Goldsmith, is going to be taking over the show alongside one of our other incredible coaches. And together, they're going to guide you through time-tested strategies and tough topics with the practical advice and wisdom that only comes through decades of experience. So whatever stage of your speaking journey that you're in, I know that you're going to benefit from this conversation. So without further ado, I'm going to pass the mic to them. Enjoy.
Hey everyone, Mary Alice Goldsmith here, Director of Student Success. I am so excited to be here with you today, and I'm really excited to have Coach Angie Bessignano with us. Hey girl, how are you?
What's up? Hello, so excited for today.
Yeah, it's a great topic. We're going to be talking about how to charge your worth, and this is like a, I'll use a word, that triggering topic for some people, because I think for this, and you tell me what you think, but I think people have such a passion for what they do that it's hard to put a dollar sign to it. I think that's part of it. And then I also think that there is just psychological money blocks that we all have in one way or another. And so that tends to come up when you're trying to put a dollar sign on this passion. So we're gonna rip this apart today.
Yeah, we are. I think that's the first thing that you, one of the first things that you said is 10,000% true, is that, you know, sometimes when we like want to make this movement as a speaker, we become speakers for a reason, right? There's a passion behind it. Most of us don't come out of the educational womb like 18 years old, I want to be a speaker, right? We go through some things in life, experiences, observations, and we say, I want to do something about that. So now when we want to assign dollars to that, it somehow doesn't feel like right or ethical or like there's definitely mindset behind that. How do we get paid doing what we love? I don't know. Does that mean that we're used to getting paid for doing what we hate, and it's supposed to be that way?
It's
like,
true.
I'm just saying.
It is true. Like that has become a norm in a lot of people's worlds, right? And you know, as you and I know, there is a whole big mother, father story attached to this, like what you've come from, generations of stories, like money doesn't grow on trees, or, you know, we don't have enough money, or like you hear that and it gets imprinted in your brain as your very young child. And we don't realize, and our parents didn't realize, they didn't do this on purpose. Like we love our parents. But these comments, these like fly by the seat of your pants comments actually do make an impression. Similarly, and we won't go down this route, but it is similar to, you know, a daughter watching her mom say, oh, I'm so fat. I'm so fat in these jeans. I'm so, right? So we do have to be a little careful about the things that we say in front of our children, because they do make an impression and they do get printed on the brain. And so let's talk about
it. Becomes like the belief system about money, your belief, the worth, your value. Money doesn't grow on the trees. Pennies equal dollars. That's what my mom used to say. Pennies equal dollars. Don't throw a penny away.
There you go.
Okay, but it was only a penny, right? So, and I think also though, I also think that some people assign their own personal worth and value to how much money they make. Overall, right?
For sure.
You know, if like somebody comes into a room and says, well, I make $30,000, you know, some people are looking at them going, really? So I think that there's more to that belief system. So it's what we learned. And then it's also what we're observing, right? I think that I've had a lot of students come to me and say, you know, I have to make this much because if I don't, well, what happens if you don't? Mm-hmm. Are you keeping the lights on and the belly full? That's important,
sure.
Which we'll talk about. But they feel like a failure if they're not making a certain amount of money mm-hmm. at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So I think that plays into it as well. But what we're talking about, how do you decide what you're supposed to charge? And I think that there's two sides to that. Mm-hmm. What do you need to make to keep the lights on and the bellies full? And what will the market bear, right? Like, how much can you actually charge? Because listen, we could say, oh, we want to make $1 million a year. Sure. Welcome to it, folks. We all want to make $1 million a year. Sure, why not?
Sure.
But what is your contribution going to be, right? Mm-hmm. What is it that is going to make that a reality instead of just some pie in the sky number? Where's your value in that? And is the market going to bear that, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. How much do you have to do? So yeah, there's a really big piece to that.
Yeah, 100%. I think there's that balance between reality and dreaming. As entrepreneurs, you mm-hmm. want to dream and you want to dream big, but then getting some perspective on that is really important. So let's start with that. So let's just start with like the mindset around money, because this is something that I know when coaching clients or coaching our students, this comes up and they're like, oh, I never even thought about that. Or, oh my gosh, like you're just opening a door to something that I totally need to go through. So we kind of talked about where our mindset around money starts, but that doesn't mean we have to continue investing in those stories around mother, father, grandmother, aunt, uncle, wherever you got your story from. And so I think phase one of this is understanding your relationship with money. Let's talk about that a little bit more, because I think for people who are listening going, oh, this is so me. I have such issues with money, whether it's spending too much or saving too much, because that's a thing too, or not spending at all. Where do they start to even understand their relationship with money?
Yeah. So I think I started to touch upon it. I think it's really about differentiating between the reality and the necessity. You know, I talk about necessity all the time. How much do I need to make? How much will the market bear? And can I find that in-between space where it actually makes sense? Because mm-hmm. it depends on so many things. You know, there's so many things that come into play here when you're talking about building a speaking business and how that's going to translate into the business side of it. Right, into that financial piece of it. And I think the first step is to start getting into your product, right? What your offering is, mm-hmm. right? And believing in the impact that you're looking to have. Mm-hmm. Because I think that if we mindset wise start to believe in what we're offering and delivering, it's a little bit easier to say, oh, and shift that mindset from imposter syndrome to, wait, there's real value here. And coming to terms with the fact that maybe you will be a $50,000 speaker at some point.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. Market research is important in this too, right? Because understanding the value you bring, the market you're catering to, and then understanding the market, what is the market responding to and what are they paying? And then understanding where you're at in that spectrum. Are you a new speaker? You know, like, let's just call it what it is, but the Tony Robbins of the world, like he could get hundreds of thousands of dollars to speak. You're probably not there yet, right? So understanding that reality of like, okay, I can't expect $100,000 for my first speaking gig. What are people in my start phase, what are they charging? And going from there.
And I think you need to be okay with that. Like, it's okay to aspire to.
Sure.
I would love, you know what? Tony Robbins didn't set out and say, I'm going to be Tony Robbins. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
right.
He didn't do that. Mm-hmm. But so now we have some benchmarks that we can assign and say, you know what? I would be really happy at this space. This is what I need to make. And I can do this. But I think when you maybe come into speaking as a newbie, a new person, a new speaker, and you're like, I'm going to make $1 million in the next 3 years, my answer is, well, combined or annually, like, what does that look like? And if you don't, what does that actually mean to you? And I think that's where the mindset piece comes in. Like, oh no, I'm a failure, mm-hmm. right? If you don't make $150,000 in your first year, does that shift your mindset toward how you approach year two? Does it make you feel like you've somehow failed? Like I think we do that. I think we assign dollar amounts. Like you were talking about fat and, well, if I'm not 100 pounds and I'm just using a random number, that doesn't mean I'm fat. Right.
Right. Right.
So I think that's a big piece of the mindset is ongoing, right? Just make it the goal. What am I doing? And what's my deliverable going to be?
Yeah. Awesome. I think one way to wrap up the mindset around money is a really simple thing that everybody can do. Just get keenly aware of what you say when it comes to money. Mm-hmm. Just get keenly aware. Even just checking your bank account every day and getting really intimate with your numbers can make a profound change in your relationship with money. If you're not nurturing it, it probably won't grow. If you're saying things like, I don't have enough, I never have enough money, I need more money, you're probably going to stay stuck in that. So one thing you can do to start changing your mindset around money and then start charging what you're actually worth in this point of your career is just get really keenly aware of what you're saying when it comes to your money.
Definitely. Yeah.
Let's talk about the expert piece of this, because I think sometimes when you're a new speaker, it's hard to walk around saying, oh, I'm an expert. And not that we're not saying you should, but you absolutely should remember that you are an expert, especially if you've gone through the speaker lab and you've done all the work to build this business. You have definitely honed in on your expertise and experience. So let's talk about that and how that plays into charging your worth.
Yeah. So I think, you know, there are some rules of thumb, right? We're not going to just pull numbers randomly and say, oh, this is what I'm going to charge. There are some pieces to it, which we talked about. First, you're going to say, okay, what do I need to make? And really doing some homework on, in terms of in your space, what does the market bear? And you can do research to kind of figure that out to see, let me just check in. Do my goals make sense based on where I'm speaking? But again, just because you come to your first, let's just say it's your very first speaking gig, right? And you're having that conversation with the decision maker, the gatekeeper. You've done a lot of work to get to that point, right? Mm-hmm. So even though you may not be, you know, polished yet on your stagecraft and all of the things that go into the actual gig, you do bring so much value in what it is. I mean, Grant talks about the doctor thing, right? They've spent 10 years to charge, you know, $50,000 for a 10-minute procedure kind of a thing. And we're not getting paid that way. We talk about like not getting paid. We're not getting paid by the hour. We're getting paid for everything that we've put into getting to this point. Mm-hmm. Right. That's what we're getting paid for and what that deliverable is. Mm-hmm. Being excited about that.
Yeah, I think we often forget about that, right? And we've heard our students talk about this all the time, you know, like, how do I charge hourly? How do I make it make sense? Well, you make it make sense when you look at all the years that you have honed in on your craft. And again, you know, plug in the speaker lab because it's awesome and should be plugged. When you go through the speaker lab, we really double down on that and really help you hone in on your craft, on your message, on your area of expertise. And it really does help you see that what you're bringing is going to have this major trickle-down effect, a positive impact on the people that you're speaking to. Mm-hmm. Not only because you're talking about it, but because of the experience and the expertise that you bring, you're going to condense time for their results. You did all this work. Think about it. You did all this work. You studied, you've mastered a strategy, a method, a system, and you're going to teach it to them. And you're going to take years of you honing your craft and give it to them in a 45-minute keynote. So you're condensing time for them. And that is priceless. We have to remember that.
Yeah. And I think there's that little bit of disassociation. Like, don't forget what you're doing. What's your focus? Your focus needs to be on that. You and I talk about it in Sales Mastery, right? Is kind of saying, hey, if you have this deliverable and you've worked really hard to take the experiences you've had to turn it into something, right? Here's this tangible, there's value. There's great value to that. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you need to be excited about bringing that offering to the table.
Yeah. 100%.
Because then I think it makes sense. Then I think it's easier for us to make the connection to, well, okay, if I'm really focused on this, how much can I really charge for that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think people similar to money, defining their value based on money, they oftentimes define their value based on what they perceive as expertise. And so if you have a PhD after your name, you are better. If you have a degree, you are better. If you have CEO or CFO or what, you are better. And honestly, you know, it's interesting when you hear people, like audience people reacting to who they would want to sit in front of. No disrespect to anyone, but if I'm a mom and I'm raising children, I want to sit in front of a mom who's been in it and has gone before me. I don't really care what is behind her name, right? I don't necessarily get too consumed with whether she has a book or not. I just want somebody who can help me with that or relate to me in that way. So I do think we have to caution against that when we're defining our expertise. And we have heard over and over and over the whole imposter syndrome around that from our students. Well, I don't have a book, or I don't have a doctorate, I don't have a master's. Right. And we're like, okay, but you have 12 years of dealing with this very specific experience, mm-hmm. and people want to hear that from you.
That's the relatability piece. Yeah. I think, you know what? We're all looking for inspiration. We're all looking for, you can find information almost anywhere. But when we want to get motivated, we want to look at somebody that's like, I've been there. I get it. I understand. Mm-hmm. That's who we relate to. And if you've got 25 years of experience in that, I don't know. I kind of make the joke, like I have a PhD in lip skidding, making mistakes, getting up, fixing it. Doing it right, you know, or getting it better. I don't know what right or wrong is for people, but doing better and doing better and growing, right? That it's a process. That's my PhD, you know? And again, no disrespect, because, you know, I have degrees and I have certifications, and in their way, they've all helped. But most people that come into this are doing it from a whole different space. And even if they do have a PhD, they'll and say, oh, this is not what I expected, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, here's the reality, you know?
Yeah,
but
totally.
Regardless, what's your deliverable? What's the impact you're making?
Yeah, so I think the takeaway from the point number two is like really evaluate what you're an expert in and the years. I mean, it could go all the way back to childhood for you. Like that's how long this has been something on your heart or on your mind. And so that's what makes you an expert in this. But spend some time thinking about that, because I think it gets clouded with our desire to be a speaker and our passion. And we don't spend enough time really evaluating and defining what makes us an expert in this. And it's something we do in level one with our speakers, because we want to infuse that confidence, because once you have it, then you could see the other side of this. And that is the impact that you make to your audience. When you understand that you're an expert in something and you have years of experience and a strategy and a method and whatnot, then you could look at the other side and say, okay, if I come in and we kind of touched on this a little bit, if I come in and talk for 45 minutes on this topic and I give them the ABCs of whatever, leadership, sales, motivation, what's the impact on them, right? Mm-hmm. So we already talked about condensing time. That's huge. But just to get somebody to be or do or think differently, and that alone can change their marriage, their trajectory of their career, you know, their health, whatever it is, that is huge. And so we have to spend time when we're thinking about what we charge on the impact that we're actually making. And so let's dive into that a little bit more.
I have to say, I think that focusing on the impact has always helped me personally when I've had to transition things and say to myself, okay, what is it that I'm really doing here? You know what? I'm motivating people to do, and I've always said this, do, be, feel, think differently than before. It doesn't have to make, you know, I don't have to change everything for everybody all at one time, but if they can walk away with something then I know that that's what this is really about. It's really about, what are you doing? You're not just getting up to speak and cash the check. That's not how it really works for most of us, right? But, you know, there are people that are like, hey, I want to work smart. I want to go up, do a 50,000 couple of times a year, and I want to be done. And that's great. Want to be like the ER person, get in, stabilize, get out. But at the same time, I think the piece that motivates us as speakers is knowing that even if you just touch one person in an audience that does that, that has that impact and feels it, we're good. That's really what it's about. It's not, you know, changing the entire world with one talk all at one time.
That impact is important, you know, focusing, it's kind of like bookends, right? What are you an expert in? And what's the impact that you're going to make? And when you look at that, it can open your mind to this whole concept of what to charge. So let's talk about this, because I know people are like, well, tell us, how do we know what to charge and when to charge it and when to give ourselves a raise? So how do, like, I'm a new speaker. I'm just getting myself out there. I just went through the speaker lab. I feel confident. I have clarity. I'm ready to rock and roll. So how do I know what to charge besides using the speaker lab tool that we have on our website? Check that out. The speaker fee calculator. But besides that, how do I really know what I should be charging?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think as somebody who's new, right, you do have to do a little bit of research for sure, right? You definitely have to say, you know, let me not just pull a random number out of the sky and say, well, I think I heard that I should be charging $5,000. I actually had a student say this a couple of weeks ago, and they've never spoken. They have a great product, right? That could be great impact. And they said, you know, I think I should be charging $5,000. And I asked, well, how did you get there? Well, that's what I've been hearing. So I get it. In this community, you hear that number a lot. 5,000 is the number. Yeah. And maybe it actually is, but you need to check on that, because we also talk about, if you're speaking to, you know, if you're speaking in, depending on the environment, right? Maybe some certain spaces don't pay as much as others. So again, setting a realistic goal, if you're going into like nonprofit, we know historically, statistically, they don't pay as much. It's not that they don't pay. So if you're looking to make $5,000 or $10,000, it's probably not going to happen there. Mm-hmm. So you have to kind of check that. Now, if you're going to huge organizations, and you know, we know that most organizations have a budget for growth, development, all of those things, associations, conferences, there's a budget for that.
Yeah.
What's the budget? So I think initially, though, I think everybody looks for, but really, really, come on, tell me, how do I start? So we've told them, right, $1,000, right? So I usually give a little bit of a range. I usually say $1,000 to like $2,000 when you first start speaking and making that and be confident with that.
Well, I think that's the big thing, what you just said, right? If you want to charge $5,000, you have to do a gut check. And if you're like, oh my God, that freaks me out, you might not be ready to charge $5,000. So do a gut check. Then once you do the gut check, then you have to do the market research. You know, in speaking about nonprofits, there is a website that you can go and review nonprofit, their budget and their fiscal year. You will be blown away with the millions and millions of dollars that nonprofits, not all of them, they have and they need to spend because of grant money. So, but you wouldn't know that if you don't do the research. And so you have to do the research. And you have to do a gut check, and then you have to understand what is the market. If you're in corporate, it's a little different than nonprofit, right? If you are in nonprofit, it's a little different than faith-based. Not that these don't pay, but when you're first starting out, you have to come with knowledge and you have to come with that confidence. And the only way to do that is to market research and gut check. Really, really important.
Yeah. And the gut check is definitely the piece that brings our confidence. Cause like you said, you know, there were times when in my career where I was like, you know what, I think it's time for me to up my game a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't time like in terms of months or years. There were definitely cues that I was receiving from the market that were kind of telling me, maybe it is time, right? Maybe it is time for me to go from 1,000 to 1,500 to 2,000. And make those incremental jumps, if you will. Mm-hmm. And a lot of students come to us and ask us that, like, okay, so if I do my research, I do the gut check, and I now start having these conversations and I repeat it and I practice it and I say it with confidence. Okay, this is great. Am I getting more yeses?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Am I more comfortable getting those yeses? And I think that's the space and the time where we kind of go, oh, it's time. It's time to move on. It's time to up that number.
Yeah.
You know, less resistance means you're doing something very right.
100%. You're like in, you're in that zone. I always say to people, when you get five easy yeses, give yourself $500 to $750, maybe even $1,000 bump. But if you get five easy yeses in a row, yes, 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 get that raise. Even if you get like a no here and there or whatever, but you have like, you know, you've done 10 calls and you've gotten five yeses, give yourself a little boost. That's a good
number. Yeah, no, I think that's a great number.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've had anybody ask me like, well, how many yeses do I actually need to get? What does that look like?
Yeah.
But I think if you say to yourself like, hey, my conversions are pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I did 10 calls or 10 outreach and I had 10 calls with somebody and, you know, five of those turned into yeses, I'm at a 50% conversion. That's good enough for me.
Raise
that
day.
Means I'm in the right place. Right. Absolutely. I'm getting a raise today. Self-imposed.
And the opposite is a good gauge, right? If you had 10 calls, no. Maybe you're too high, right? And maybe you need to kind of reevaluate. And that could also be just the sales strategy itself, which you know, we do the sales mastery workshop with our students, which is amazing. But I think that is a good gauge. People like a gauge, you know?
Well, yeah, because you say to yourself, like, is it 10? Is it 20? Like, how do I really know when it's time to do that? And I think this is important too. I think being a little bit,
a little bit cautious or reserved.
Well, cautious or reserved, maybe, you know, because the thing that we don't want to do is we don't want to start off really high and then go, okay, I'll just do it for less, because that again shifts our mindset and it breaks our confidence down. It's easier to go up than it is to come down. And that's just in anything across the board, right? So be conservative. There was my word in your pricing and give yourself some room to go, okay, now I can go up, but at least I'm not coming down.
Totally. Right?
There's value here beyond the dollars, of course, which we didn't talk about yet, but you know, there is something that we can gain from this that is not always in dollars and cents. It's a relationship. It's, you know, all the things that we can, that we teach here, which is what other value, what do you need? Is there more than the dollars for you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love what you just said. And I think that the solution to that is know your market. Know your market. That knowing your market, market research, and gut check. If those two things are in place, you are going to confidently place your initial prices in the right spot. If you're just chucking numbers at a wall, you might fail and have to regroup, which is totally fine too. Like, there's nothing wrong with failing at this, you know, like you can rebound and reset everything, not a problem. But I want our students to be confident. And so doing that market research, doing that gut check, and pricing yourself appropriately, I think you'll get faster wins than you will failures. And then giving yourself that little raise every five yeses or so.
Well, I think what you just said too also speaks to that confidence really quick.
Yeah,
you know, like if you're pulling numbers randomly, then you're not, you have no idea where your value sits, right? Then it's just about numbers and not about value.
Yeah. And people people pick up on that energetically when you're on that call and you're like, well, you know, stumbling over your words, and then you drop 10,000. They're like, what do you mean 10,000? Right. So people pick up on that. So energy is also, we have to remember, money isn't an energy. It's an exchange, right? I'm going to give you this money because you're going to give me this. And that energy needs to feel really good for both parties. And so I think we often forget about that. And so pricing yourself appropriately, really coming in confident, that event planner or, you know, event manager is going to feel really good about writing that check to you and saying, yes, we want you. So that's important too, the energetic connection that money brings between two parties.
Sure. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So what I want to leave them with, why they shouldn't charge too much initially. And you kind of touched on this a little bit, you know, with the confidence piece and like giving your business that room to breathe and grow and evolve is really important. But confidence is really key. You touched on that with charging too much and then having to lower your prices could be a confidence zapper. So is there any other reason why charging too much to start is a detriment?
I think you hit on it just now, right? We have to give our business, this is for the people that are new,
right?
Just coming out into this. They've really never done it before, or they've been doing it and they haven't been getting paid. Mm-hmm. And they're not like, now they're kind of saying, wait a minute, there's actual value here. I can do this. So number one definitely is what we talked about. You don't want to go backwards because that is, I think that's a reputation killer.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Is to go, oh, well, this is my fee. And then it's like, well, it's like drawing a line in the sand and not really sticking to it.
Yeah.
So I think that ruins the whole relationship that you're trying to build.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I actually had somebody say, well, listen, but if I try to charge more, doesn't that kind of give off the impression that I've made it already? And I'm like, no, because if they ask you, really, so where have you talked or where have you, and you don't have an answer to that.
Right.
You know, this is not a fake it till you make it.
Right.
This is, let me put something in here. Mm-hmm. Let me let it bloom for a minute. And maybe I am too low and now I can go up even maybe quicker. Maybe mm-hmm. I did under market myself. But I do. I feel like it's, I mean, I'm calling it professional suicide. I think if you go in and then you don't have anything to back that with,
mm-hmm.
that's not going to last. Maybe you'll fool one or two people. I don't even believe that. But it's really that relationship piece because a lot of these event planners, even if they're not doing this full time, it's a small world. Mm-hmm. They know each other. They communicate.
Sure.
You want to be always in integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Always in integrity. And I really stick with it.
You also want to come across like you know your market,
yeah.
right? If you come in there and you drop a $10,000 speaker fee and they're like, do you know what market you're actually speaking in? That's exactly. not a good look, right?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, all great stuff. I think the biggest takeaways for people that are listening today, because this is really an important topic, I think do your money mindset. Really get in touch with where you are today with money and your relationship with it, whether it's positive mm-hmm. or negative, no judgment, but get into clarity about your relationship with money. I think the next thing is do your homework, research your market, understand what people are charging. You know, you got the Tony Robbins and then you got the newbie speaker. There's a lot of space in between. So find those in between speakers so that you can understand, okay, this is a great place to start. And then this is a great next jump for me, right? Building out that 3-year trajectory for your business is important, but don't just throw numbers at a wall. Do your market research. And then I think really do that gut check, right? Gut check, gut check, gut check. If you're going to put $5,000 out and that gives you the chills down your spine, you need to reevaluate and maybe start with $3,000. Maybe that feels really good and that's okay for today. And then understanding when you're getting the yeses, get a couple of yeses. I like the number 5. Give yourself that raise. And what, again, gut check, what's the raise? Is it 500? Is it 750? Did you discover you're way low and you need to give yourself $1,000? That's okay. Do what feels good, then re-gut check. But this has been awesome. I think it's a really important topic. I know you and I love talking about this on the Sales Mastery Workshop mm-hmm. with our students. A lot of aha moments. But definitely. Understanding you are an expert, you are making an impact. And due to that, you want to make sure you're charging your worth, but then also understand the market. So thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, you're so welcome. It was great. I could go on and on about money and all the things. So I look forward to seeing how this comes back after students listen and say, you know, Angie, I heard you say this. It's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. And listen, if you're curious, go and check out our speaker fee calculator on our website at thespeakerlab.com just to get a little bit of an understanding. It starts there. It doesn't stop there, right? Because every market and industry is a little different. So do your research. Thanks for being here today. If you are thinking about becoming a speaker, come and check us out, book a strategy call, and we will definitely help you out. We'd love to see you on the other side. Have a great day, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Here at the Speaker Lab, we pride ourselves on the amazing caliber and diversity of our coaching team. In addition to decades of experience in building a speaking business, each of our coaches has a unique specialty ranging from self-discovery to executive leadership to spirituality to marketing to writing and more. And so whatever path you want to forge as a speaker, you can find someone with the experience and wisdom to guide you on our coaching team. If you've ever thought about working with our incredible team, it is a great time to take the next step. So I want you to head to thespeakerlab.com/corner. Again, that is thespeakerlab.com/corner to learn more. Also, if you enjoyed today's podcast, our podcast is full of similar coaches, corners, episodes, interviews with incredible professional speakers, and so much more. So I want you to check it out over at thespeakerlab.com/podcast. Finally, got a huge favor to ask of you. I want you to leave us a rating or review for this show. We read every single one of them. It helps other speakers find valuable free resources that they can also use to build their speaking careers. And thanks as always for listening, and we'll see you next time.